I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah. Plantain, plantain.
Welcome back to another episode of The Shirtless Plantain Show. It is I, your host, Tosin. I'm here with Coach and Dean. Fellas, how's your weekend going? How you guys doing?
I've been beaten up by my niece most of today, so that's how my weekend's going. So, yeah, happy with that.
What's your niece's name? Kendrick?
might as well be, man. Bloody hell.
Oh man, there's so much I want to say about that, but this isn't the time or the place for that. I think everybody's got enough on their own personal timelines about what's happened. So
it's not enough. I will be littering this entire podcast with references to that beef. I apologize to no fucking body. Hate real haters okay. Back, real hoops are back. It's the blackest podcast in the history of FBF. Let's fucking go.
Well, speaking of blacks, Real Madrid, a.k.a. Los Negros, beat Cadiz 3-0, and they're obviously La Liga champions because Barcelona lost, which, again, goes full circle. They're, what's it called? The team they hate the most lost, and they want to become champions. So, you know, there you go. And Real Madrid, this is their 36th La Liga title, so, you know, that's a record. And, hey, man, one of the coolest things I saw over the weekend was Vinny in his house already had the place for his third trophy already.
But for real, look, Real Madrid are very much coasting in La Liga, and they're preparing essentially for Tuesday, I believe.
Wednesday, King.
Wednesday, so my bad, yeah. But yeah, Eder Militao, you know, started. He took a shot from about 40 yards, and it stunned the goalkeeper's wrist. So that lets you know that his knee is probably better than it ever was before. but yeah, man, look, Dani Ceballos, man, our resident Sufi, was spinning around midfield. You know, no Cruz, no Tchouameni. Like, they're really, really, like, just there, just waiting for Bayern essentially. But goal of the game for me was Brahim Diaz on his right foot. Very similar finish to what he did in the Champions League to Leipzig. But he received the ball in that real nasty area between centre-back and right-back and turned so quickly and roofed it, basically. But Joselu probably had the funniest goal of the day because he missed about three sitters, right? And then and then Nacho basically run through on goal, completely one-on-one. He's like, Do you know what? You can actually have it because you've been, yeah, you need it more than I do, basically. And this gave him an open goal, basically. It was hilarious, man.
He said, he can have it because I'm fucking leaving. I'm going to MLS. Nacho's done with this.
Done, yo, yeah, you know some of the craziest things?
It was a stroll for them, for sure.
Yeah.
Yo, one of the craziest things about it is just like Jude is just doing anything he wants this year. Mm-hmm. Like, he came on 2 minutes, like, you know, I want to go. I'm going to score this. That's what I'm going to do. And just because I can. Coach, I got a question for you, though. What's been Real Madrid's biggest factor in their dominance this year? Is it because of the coach, or what do you think it is this year?
No disrespect to actual Madrid or even La Liga, but La Liga isn't, I'd probably say, as competitive. And, you know, despite, we're going to speak about Girona, but Girona have had a wonderful season. They're probably going to finish ahead of Barcelona. That kind of lets you know what kind of season La Liga has been like this season. But, you know, shout out to them for doing so well. But I suppose, yeah, Real Madrid have significantly better players than everybody else. And everybody else seems to be, there's still some good teams in La Liga, but the strength of La Liga, I don't feel like, is the same, basically. Like, the parity that you might get in other leagues, maybe if I was even to compare, even, dare I say, to Serie A, the teams lagging behind, I feel like are a lot closer together and probably a little bit closer to Inter than the rest are to Real Madrid, basically. So,
yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Dean, what do you think about Real Madrid's dominance? Why do you think they're so dominant?
Oh, no, Coach basically covered it. They have the best players. They've lost one game this season. I don't even remember which game it was. So we could basically be talking about two teams in two different leagues that are going invincible this season. You know, like if you're that far ahead of everybody else, then clearly, you know, I mean, they had so many injuries. They didn't have center backs for a period of the season and no one got close to them anyway. You know, so I think it's a triumph for Florentino. It's, you know, this is now, I think he now holds a record for the most trophies won by a club president at Real Madrid over the guy the stadium is named after, Santiago Bernabeu. And that essentially comes from, you know, a lot of credit to Ancelotti and a lot of credit, most of the credit, I would say, to their depth and the flexibility and excellence of the players that they actually got to play this year. So.
One more stat for everybody that's keeping it at home.
Go on, sir.
One more stat for everybody keeping score at home. Luka Modric is now the oldest player to ever play for Real Madrid in La Liga.
Wow.
And he's older than Rodrigo's dad, by the way.
Yeah. Wasn't there a funny story about Rodrigo saying something like, yeah, he calls him like a different name because basically he could be his dad or something like that. He doesn't call him Luka.
That's what
Arda Güler was saying that last week too, that he doesn't
about Cruz as well, yeah.
And Cruz as you know, as Lucan Cruz, he gives them he says brother beforehand, just like we do.
Yeah.
Brother.
Yeah. Now he's like going to the top for real,
man. With Adin, you know, Emma, Bush Yako Wani.
Oh, actually,
you know what? Moving forward on this pod, both of you need to refer to me as brother Adin. Thank you.
What are you, top dog from TDE, nigga?
That's exactly who the fuck I am.
Anyways, Girona beat Barcelona 4-2. Before I get into this game, right? If you guys haven't seen Porto's goal, please go and watch Porto's goal.
Listen, like, do you know what's crazy? That goal, I feel as if, might not have been the craziest thing to happen that game, despite it being probably goal of the weekend across the leagues. Maybe Xhaka's, I suppose. But Barcelona's problem this entire season is the fact that they have probably the worst collection of finishers in the top leagues at a top team. They don't.
And on top of that, yeah, their decision making, like the individual mistakes are so shit. They like literally get into a position of just like calamity. The goal that they scored, right? Literally, they were doing a stupid pass back.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like all of that happened after Barca missed about 5 or 6 gilt-edged chances. I thought we were bad in the first half in terms of our finishing, but it seems to be the same story every week for Barcelona. They miss so many chances and they're not good enough defensively to keep the other team out. So they just end up conceding goals because the other team's got confidence from them, you know, missing chances. Go on, Dean.
So is that a function, we think, of the personnel? Do they need better players? Because I'm not really sure you can get much better than they already have.
Okay. So here's the thing. Here's the funny thing, right? There's a running theme about certain teams or a certain team needing a bona fide number 9 that's going to get you 20 goals, right? And it's hilarious because Barcelona have that. And yet, they still cannot put... Barcelona should have scored 100 goals in La Liga this season. Like, I want to go check their XG, right? I'm certain they should have scored like close to 100 goals in La Liga this season because of every time I've watched them, it's just missed chance after missed chance after missed chance. And the fact that they end up going ahead twice this game lets you know that they kept going at it, and then by the end of it, look, they didn't finish their chances and they ran out of steam. I mean, Porto came off the bench and was on a mission to just ruin them. Like, absolutely ruined. Dovbyk, great. Well, but I'll probably say, his first goal, fantastic, good header. But what he did, the way him and Porto combined after he came on, they were two-man wrecking crew, man, and Barcelona just couldn't live with it.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And I feel bad not talking about Christensen's goal because there's no way a centre-back should be scoring that type of goal. But look, 4-2 just took the piss, man. It was outrageous, man.
Miguel Gutierrez looks really good at left back, by the way.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's too lightweight. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, the options for left back in football right now are very, very dire. That's literally why I was just like, fair play to him. But there's not that many good left backs in football right now.
Hiro Tomiyasu is the best in Europe, period. Yes. I'll die on that today.
You said what now?
Takehiro Tomiyasu, best left back in Europe. Not even left footed.
Wale agrees with you.
Oh, man.
After the game, Zavi Clinton's team had outplayed Real Madrid and Ronan all four games, but left with 0 points. Well, you could, but you got no points.
I don't disagree with him. I actually don't disagree with him, funny enough. I mean,
that's the kind of thing a midfielder would say, you know. Yeah. If he played as a striker during his career, he wouldn't be saying dumb shit like that, because the whole point of the game is to score goals. But yes, XG-wise, ball, you know, possession-wise, yeah, they dominated those games. In some of those games, the ones against Real Madrid, for instance, they didn't have a Jude, and Real Madrid had a Jude. Mm. That was the difference, you know, like, and Girona is just better than them, it feels like. You know, I mean, and shout out Girona. This is, they confirmed their place in the Champions League for next season, first time in their history. I think they were trying to confirm a place in Europe for the first time in history, and they went straight to the top of the menu, you know, so.
I mean, it's a great story. It's a great story of the underdog, you know, that, you know, were just, they had nobody gave them a chance. They had no sort of external funding that's a little bit shady. That was just such a great feel-good story of it, really, you know. No links to another club that essentially were like a Girona, if you like, and then all of a sudden of winning everything. It's a fantastic story, man, honestly, genuinely is.
If you ask a lot of my black lady friends, they'll call that shade. what do you guys think about Xavi not playing Victor Roque?
I couldn't give a shit, man.
Child, like, how good can he be already?
Like seriously.
I just saw the murmurs, that's all. Just asking y'all. Athletic Club beat Getafe 2-0. Inaki Williams scored a double on Spanish Mother's Day. Coach is over here excited about Ghanaian. Disgusting.
No, do you want to know why? Because it was a double. It was the Mario Brothers again, boy. It was Nico setting up in Inaki for both goals, and they came from both sides. Like, one goal was set up from the left foot by Nico, and the other goal set up from the right by Nico. That boy is so fucking cold that I don't even care if we don't play him. We just can't let him go to anybody else. I'm fully sold on Nico now. He's got nine assists. Yeah?
Who's we?
Arsenal, bro. Yeah.
There you go. Like, niggas is listening to this shit, nigga. Goddamn.
but for real, like, he's got nine assists, I think, this season, which might be the most in the Liga, or it's in the top two, I believe, anyway. And the first assist was just a simple pass infield, whatever, you know what I mean? And Inaki just slapped it to the far corner. But the second one was a really good cross on the right-hand side, which is a traditional winger play. I wouldn't put a ceiling on Nico's talent, basically. Like, at worst, he's probably going to be better than his brother, which is not hard. But
he's already better than his brother.
This is what I'm saying. And he's, what, he's 19, 20 years old at this point? Like, this is probably as worst as we're going to see Nico Williams, right? I think he can go to the moon, man. Genuinely, I believe in his talent for real, man.
He's 21. I mean, like, even United, right? Like, we're linked to Michael Olise, who I think is a good player. I'm just like, Nico's cheaper. Just go get Nico. Stop being dumb. But that's another conversation for another day. Yeah. Shout out to Valverde, man. Doing well over there with them boys.
He got recorded as well that game as well. That's the funny thing. Like, there are two players sent off, and then he went and got recorded as well just for the fuck of it, you know?
Like you know what's hilarious about Spanish or La Liga managers getting red carded? I feel like every time they get a red card, as they're going down the tunnel, they take their jacket off. It's like, what's going on here? Yeah. Like, is the weather back in Spain or something?
He's getting ready to fight the ref. he's waiting for him in his office.
Yeah, like last time Xavi got red carded, he like took his jacket off and threw it on the floor. Then there was someone walking right behind him that picked it up like, okay, you're going to need this later, nigga.
Sociedad beat Las Palmas 2-0. So yeah, good for Sociedad, you know, keeping the gap between them and Bilbao, you know, so good for them.
Honestly, that second goal by the Dutch winger, I've forgotten his name, oh my gosh. I think Aguero will be part of that finish. Like, near post finish from an improbable angle made no sense. Yes. Ridiculous goal. Like, they only got him in January as well, you know, funny enough.
Yeah, from Union Berlin.
Yeah. Honestly speaking, that might be my favorite goal of the weekend. That La Liga went off this weekend, but he even set up the first goal as well. I think he had a reasonably good game, but I'd say, yeah, look, they're going to need a miracle. They're going to need some favors before the end of the season, because I think they're now 4 points behind Atletico Madrid. So
when you said need a miracle, I instantly thought of Rasmus Højlund. Mallorca lost 1-0 to Atletico Madrid. Rodrigo Riquelme scored in the fifth minute, and it's not really much to take away from Atletico Madrid, man. They are what they are, whatever. La Liga standings, obviously, Real Madrid are champions. They're first with 87 points. Girona are in second with 74. Barcelona third with 73. Atletico Madrid are in fourth with 67. Athletic Club are in fifth with 61 points. And Sociedad rounded out in sixth with 54 points. So that's your La Liga. And as Cole said, La Liga went crazy this weekend. So if you're going to go look at those highlights, go do that because they went crazy. Speaking of going crazy, we're going to the Bundesliga. And Bayer Leverkusen decided to open up a can of whoop-ass against Frankfurt. Ooh. They decided, we're not going to no longer do these last-minute goals. We're going to whoop your ass instead. That's what we're going to do. So it's like, what, their 48th game unbeaten now? Like, they've set a record? Just sick shit, man. Like, 48 games unbeaten, which is matches Benfica's 56-year record. Xhaka's goal, I mean, y'all take it away. That's y'all boy.
It looked like a Xhaka goal. just a solid, brutal banger. And Frankfurt kind of looked like they were going to do something. Ekitike scored a nice goal from the second phase of a set piece. But then next thing you know, they got a penalty against him. Palacios converted that. Then it just went on and on and on. You know, the Black Dudes got in on it. Frimpong scored one. What's our boy Victor Boniface gave them this shit late in the game. You know, it was brutal. And your boy, was it? Did Patrick Schick score in this game too?
He did. He did. Yeah, he scored the second goal. Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought he'd have a. He just won a league title, but I always thought he'd get to a larger league sooner than or ever. I don't think he's ever going to leave that club, to be honest. Mm. But, you know. I think Benfica is in trouble. Bayer Leverkusen are setting records even without their coach on the sideline for once because he was suspended. Yeah. You know. Which is kind of shocking to think about because we'll talk about La Liga managers having to get red cards and taking their jackets off. And imagining Xabi Alonso getting upset enough with a ref to get a red card, it's just something that doesn't compute in my head. You know, like even as a player, he seemed very chill. You know, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Leverkusen, man. Greatest season ever for them.
You know it's not chill? Bayern Munich. Stuttgart beat them 3-1. And that was
funny. It was Do you know, I enjoyed this because Harry Kane scored a penalty, and for once it was inconsequential. Like for like it's so frustrating. Genuinely, the fact that he just seems to always find a way to score a penalty, even if he's completely anonymous in a game. I'm personally fed up with it, but look, I'm glad that you know. I believe it was Guirassy got one.
I don't think Guirassy scored in a while, bro.
No, sorry, my bad. I'm thinking of the wrong nigga.
Don't lie to the people, Drake. Stop lying to the people.
It was Silas, my bad.
This guy said wrong dark skin. What are you, Drake?
Yeah, he said all black people look alike. Oh my God. That's disgusting, bro.
I'm about to call Metro Boomin and get a beat from you.
honestly speaking, I've watched a lot of football this weekend. So.
Nah, I get it, man. I get it. But no, seriously, I mean, I think the thing that's crazy about Bayern Munich is, and we're going to talk about this actually, there's two things I'm going to talk about. First is, Tuchel, obviously, after the game, he basically just like, I'm out, bro. I'm mentally checked out. I'm just here so I don't get fined. How do you think that affects them coming up this week? Like, they play Tuesday against PSG. Like, how does that, you guys, against Madrid on Wednesday, sorry. How does that affect them?
Well, put it like this, he's prioritizing, clearly prioritizing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not risking any of his big hitters. I mean, even Upamecano came on. Like, guys, like,
If I may, coach, Sané came on with 20 minutes left, and I could not understand that for the life of me. Because it was 1-1 at the time, and he obviously brought him on to try to win the game, which would have been good for the psyche and all that, but I thought it was really foolish. Yeah. Like, a guy can't be walking around with his groin half torn, and you're wasting him on a game against Stuttgart. This game did not matter to them. I don't know why he did that.
So it's again, it's about rhythm as well. Like, we complained about Arteta doing it a few times a season, where we're bringing on players that clearly we want to rest, kind of thing. But we know they're going to start the next game. If you're giving them 15, 20 minutes, you know, at the end of a game, kind of thing, just for them to keep that rhythm, I personally don't see anything wrong with that. And the fact that we know Sane is definitely starting on in the midweek. I think as part of modern coaching, it's a thing that we're just going to have to get used to. I think I personally don't like it, but these guys clearly know what they're doing in terms of making sure players are warm and ready. So yeah, it is what it is, man. But I was genuinely shocked to see Upamecano, because I haven't seen him in months. I swear to God.
Hey man, like it's always shocking to run into a bozo, no matter what you see. These motherfuckers lost Rafa Guerrero. I'm not saying he's the most important player ever for Bayern, but yeah. He did his ankle in this game, and he's probably out for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And he was very effective in helping them shut down Bukayo Saka in the quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. And now they're not going to have him against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu.
And he was effective in that game too.
Yeah, he was at home, but to be fair, he wasn't going to make the difference anyway, but they just made it harder for themselves. And I didn't see them going through before that, and I don't see them going through afterwards either, you know. So I do appreciate that Thomas Tuchel respects himself, because there are a lot of rumors this week since Bayern tried to get Rangnick. That didn't work out. A couple other names, nothing's working out. Bayern swiping crazy on Tinder right now. It's not really working out for them. And the Tuchel will come back rumors kind of pop back up, and they asked him about it, and he was just like,
nah.
Ah, man, they was talking to all these other bitches. Nah, I respect myself. I'm a strong black queen. Y'all need to leave me the fuck alone. So get ready, United.
And that's a great segue, because Melissa Reddy reported today that Bayern Munich are very interested in Erik ten Hag.
Oh, whoa.
So you guys ever seen that show where they swap wives and like they try to figure out how to clean each other's house like a month?
Yeah.
That's basically what Bayern Munich and Man United are doing.
It's called wife swap.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who the fuck is Renee Zellweger?
Oh, man. Yeah. What do you guys think about that if they swap coaches?
Prepare for hilarity is all I'll say. I think it could be the funniest season for both teams. Not necessarily in a bad way, but I just think Tuchel's going to be very, very shocked at what he walks into at Man United, I think.
What's it called? Like, when Ratcliffe walked around and said, damn, bitch, you live like this? I run a chemical company, and this is dirtier than that.
No, but seriously, you have to remember that Tuchel is German, so he is not even going to mince his words. His first press conference was going to be like, guys, I apologize for the conditions that you're interviewing me under. It was like this when I got here, basically.
Yo, you know what's crazy? It's like, there were reports that United players excited to work with Tuchel. I was like, no, you're not. In a single soul, you're going to not. Nope.
He's probably going to call Maguire fat before he sells him. Going to call Lukaku fat before he sells him. Going to call Casemiro fat before he asks him to make him a kebab. He's just going to, honestly, it's going to be absolutely mental if he ever becomes your coach, man.
He's going to probably ask Anthony where's his brain, but it's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, Ten Hag at Bayern is going to be interesting because they don't have a midfield either. So at least they got center backs that he likes. So, you know,
yeah, I could buy somebody.
Yeah. Whatever. He probably go get Frankie de Jong. You know, he's got a crush on him. Hoffenheim and Leipzig was 1-1. Xavi Simons got a red card. Mm-hmm. And they got a late header from Kramaric from Hoffenheim. Xavi Simons is very good, but I wonder if he's going to go back or he's going to stay at Leipzig this year. I don't know. Who knows that kid?
Who did Kramaric used to play for? Did he play for
Leicester? But yeah, he found his level in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
He's been pretty solid for Hoffenheim over the years at this point. He's like a club legend there at this point.
Yeah.
But Xabi Simons, he played too well for Leipzig this season. Like, he should have been like 20% shittier, then he could have stayed. But as it stands now,
he's definitely going back. Like,
he's going back.
Yeah.
Dortmund beat Augsburg 5-1. Great result for everyone's unserious club. But salute to a legend. The streets will never forget Marco Reus. Yeah. It's a damn shame he never won the World Cup because his leg said no. Yeah. What a legend Marco Reus is. I think that, like, he's universally loved. I think.
Yeah, he scored a great goal, though. Scored a great goal. But yeah, he would. Do you know what? Funny enough, he was the player Arsenal were apparently going to sign ahead of Alexis Sanchez. Like, things were very, very close. He wanted to come. We were, like, you know, serious about it. But for whatever reason, it broke down. And I'm pretty sure we'll hear about it soon enough when he's doing his, you know, retirement, you know, podcast tour or whatever. But
question for you, coach.
Go on.
How quickly do you think it's going to take for Marco Reus to start pushing 100 kg on dumbbells like Ozil?
Oh, God. Yeah, we need to talk about footballers retiring and you know, becoming jacked all of a sudden. What the fuck is that, man?
You just get bored, man. What you want them to do? I mean, like, if you don't do that, you're going to be like fucking Wesley Schneider. That's not the way to go.
Or Semenya Nejri, yeah. No, you're right. Absolutely.
Or Andy Vindermindem. Do you remember him?
Oh my gosh! Yes, he scored that volley against us for Inter. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, and now he's just.
He was so shit at Inter. That name just pissed me off, man. Like, what the fuck?
Why you mention that? He went to Everton and literally, like, was just so anonymous. Like, one of their worst signings ever, I'd like to say.
Like, Inter are so toxic that every generation, they sign a shitty Dutch midfielder just for the vibes. Like, right now, Inter is currently employing that Davy Klaassen.
I literally was about to say David Klaassen's right there.
Like, why? For what? For what reason? He has contributed nothing this season besides.
Do you know who they're going to sign next year? Okay. They're going to sign Renato Sanchez.
I was thinking they might get lucky and get Graven back on loan.
there's a wild Donny van der Beek if they're interested.
Ooh, yeah, that's actually a better shout.
Yeah, Inter needs to divest from the whole Dutch pipeline. They need to chill with that shit. It's not really working out. I don't like it.
Yeah. Let's look at the Bundesliga standings. Champions Leverkusen are in first with 84. Bayern Munich are second with 69. Very nice points. Stuttgart are third with 67. Leipzig are fourth with 63. Dortmund are in fifth. And they're probably going to get Champions League because that's what happens when you get the coefficient. They got 60 points. And Frankfurt rounded out in sixth with 45 points. Let's go to Serie A. Sassuolo beat Inter 1-0. Any takeaways from this? Any insights, fellas? Anything y'all care about?
They've been beating Inter.
Yeah. Inter. Hey, shut up. This is about Inter. This is my team. Fuck off, coach. This is my team. The season's over. You know, but how can Sassuolo do a double against you? Like, Inter needs to have some shame. And by having shame, I mean that means get rid of Denzel Dumfries. Like, yeah. These Dutch niggas, man, they're not doing it for me. They're not doing it for me.
Can I add to that? I remember years back when United fans wanted Dumfries. I was like, I know you don't watch football. Because if you watch enough football, you would not want Denzel Dumfries at your football club. I promise you, on everything you love, you don't want Denzel. His name is Dumfries for a reason, okay?
Do you know what the crazy thing is, right? All of these wingbacks that are or defenders, should I say, that are not absolutely not fullbacks kind of thing, and they're probably not good enough to be midfielders or attackers kind of thing. You get stuck at wing-back, right? And if most of those players that come to England, they never ever play for the top clubs because the top clubs have players and teams good enough to not need to play a back three, basically. And I never understand why these players ever get linked with the top clubs because, like, history should tell you that these players just won't go there. And even if they do, it won't work out. Go on, Nick.
Listen, coach. If Pep wants to buy Jeremy Frimpong, let him do it. Stop talking him out of this shit. You know he doesn't.
I'm just saying. It's one of the dumbest things you can do because he's going to change the position. If he does, go on.
Can I add to that? Yeah. If you guys want a perfect example of what we're talking about, go look at Jeremy Frimpong's goal this weekend, right? Yeah. There is no reason why this nigga was the furthest person on the field. And it happens every game. Like, go watch them next week in Europa League when they play against Roma. Jeremy Frimpong is not a right back. He's not a right winger. He just plays right. Yeah. He plays right forward. Literally, he is up there every single goddamn time. I look at him and said, no defending, no nothing. And I can tell people don't watch multiple leagues because if you knew that, if you know how Jeremy Frimpong plays, you would not want him at your club, United fans.
No.
He's not a right. He's just right. That's all he plays.
And I think most importantly, and I know I'm the one that's obsessed about this stuff on this pod, but he's too fucking little. Yeah. He's like really high. Like, he's like this big. Like, he's like the size of a soda can. He's not going to make it in England. Like, what's supposed to defend your back poster in a set piece? Fuck no.
I'll be honest with you. I just think even a player like a Dingra would have so much fun in that space that Frimpong would inevitably leave behind. You know, like, God forbid, you know what I mean? Like, God forbid, you know, someone like a doctor.
Could you imagine Martinelli with all that space?
It's like something. Kulusevski
would dunk on that nigga so many times. Every time he sees him, it's dunks.
No, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
only person in the world that can make him look competent is Anthony. But yeah, that's the only thing about Sassuolo. Lloriente scored, so you know, shout out to him.
Vibes. Someone needs to get him out of there. Someone needs to
immediately. There's another midfielder on there that I like, Daniel Boca, who's plays for the. I don't know why he's born in Italy, but plays for Romania. But he's decent. So I don't know. Somebody wants a cheapish Italian defensive midfielder. Go look at him. Milan and Genoa, 3-3. That was a drunk game. Like, very, very drunk. I don't understand Milan.
They were suffering from Barcelona syndrome again, man, because there's no way they should have drawn this game.
I feel like it was more Bayern syndrome than Barcelona syndrome. Like, these motherfuckers know their coach is going. They're just doing whatever. Did you see the nonsense Giroud was doing in this game?
This is what I'm saying. The way they were finishing their chances this game just didn't make sense to me. They did a lot of the heavy lifting and none of the finishing. It was just dumb.
Someone needs to give Giroud a DJ Mustard beat before he moves over to LA. That's what he really needs. Just figure out your life.
I am quite pleased with what I've seen from Chukwueze. I hope next season he gets a lot more minutes. He's crossed for I think it was, I forgot whose goal it was only, but he's crossed for their second goal was just superb, man, seriously.
To their right back, and I can never remember his name because Italian. I really don't care about Florenzi. Italian players. Yeah, Florenzi, there we go. Like, Tosin was talking about getting an Italian defensive midfielder from Sassuolo, and I was like, why are you lying to the people? Why? What is it going to do? The one that actually made it out the hood went to Newcastle, and now the motherfucker, Tatete.
Who's that?
Like, young FanDuel can't even play. You out here telling niggas to go buy from Italy again. What the fuck is wrong with you, nigga? Stop lying to the people. Are you niggas not listening to Kendrick? Stop lying to the... Stop manipulating our listeners. Ain't nothing good for you in Italian midfields besides Barella, and he ain't going nowhere. So...
Yeah. And the one Italian they do have is Brazilian, and he plays for Arsenal. That's neither here nor there. That happened. So, unfortunate. Pioli. Apparently, he's going to Napoli. What do we think about Pioli going to Napoli?
Man, I have no thoughts because there's a lot of surgery to be done at Napoli anyway. So, there's a lot to unpack there. They probably will need to sell, I suppose, because no Champions League for them this season. So, if Pioli is going to need funds, they're probably going to need to sell. Potentially one of Kvaratskhelia or Victor.
They're studying Osimhen. We all know it. It's happening. Yeah. It's going to happen. You know.
I don't know what the hell's going to happen here. They'll probably continue with their 4-3-3 because I know Pioli does lack a bit of that. But apart from that, boy, there's a lot, man. Napoli are a huge work in progress right now, man.
We'll see how much he likes apes in midfield.
Oh man. Oh, I've just got flashbacks of last week again. Fuck.
Oh, full power, Jale. And Guisa. What a nigga. Oh man. Roma and Juventus were 1-1. It's good to see Lukaku still scoring. Tammy Abraham's finally getting his legs back together. So good for him.
Fuck that nigga, man. He could have won that game for Roma.
This is the thing. Roma have scored, 20 goals this season in the last 15 minutes of the game. And I thought that was the chance. Because I thought, Roma will probably kick up another gear in these last 15 minutes. There was no flurry. They were pretty much, I'd say, hemmed into their half, basically, those last 20-ish minutes anyway. And then they get that chance. I'm like, yes, this is it. And the funny thing is, after the game, him and Szczęsny were talking for a good at least 30 seconds to a minute. And I know he was saying, oh, that's such a good save. And Szczęsny was basically telling him, I knew nothing about it. Like, it hit my leg and that was it, basically.
Right.
Like,
he was, that nigga took like that shot like a motherfucker that does not hate Juventus.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell he doesn't have that hate in him. No. If he had that hate in him, 2-1 Roma, guaranteed.
For sure.
That shit pissed me off so bad.
But I think man of the match, Chiesa. Chiesa was a... It was a one-man mission today. Like, so much good, and pretty much all the good Juventus done today was through him. So much running with the ball, so much faking, getting in and out of defenders, shots from whatever angle.
I just saw Juventus midfield, and that is a weep for them.
Nah.
Rabiot, Locatelli, and Weston.
To be honest, their second best player was probably Rabiot, funny enough. A lot of he did quite a bit of good work as well, but Chiesa on that performance today, very, 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 very impressive, man.
Fair enough. I still don't like Bremer.
I'm not having him. Not having him. Good goal.
Yeah. I don't like Burma's game at all. Let's look at the Serie A standings. Obviously, champions Inter are in first with 89 points. Milan follow second with 71. Juventus are in third with 66. Bologna are in fourth with 64. Roma are in fifth with 60 points. And Atalanta, who play tomorrow, rounded out with 57 points. So if you want to watch some Serie A tomorrow, there is going to be Udinese and Napoli at 2:45 Eastern time, and Salataria and Atlanta at 12. That's your thing, if that's what you're into. But yeah, that was that. It was a short week in France. Monaco beat Clermont Foot 4-1. It was good for Brill Mbolo, who came back from his ACL injury. Like, feel bad for Brill, man. He's had so much potential, but he just always gets hurt.
Did that happen in Euros? Not in Euros. Did it happen?
It happened in August.
August, sorry. My bad. Yeah, I remember it happening in the summer. I specifically remember it happening in the summer. Wow, man.
Yeah, he's always getting hurt, man. And it's such an unfortunate thing.
I wonder if he's going to go to the Euros. I don't know why it's in the Euros. I remember specifically
happening. He's got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, who plays for Switzerland besides him?
Noah Okafor.
Okay, yeah. That's not a bad option. That's not a bad. As long as they don't have to play Haris Seferovic, everything is okay.
No, God,
no. So bad at football. Like, I watch him play, and I realize that I wasted a lot of my life. Like, I could have been somebody. If Haris Seferovic could have made money playing football, I could have done that too. But
they also have Zeki Amundi, who plays at Burnley. So you got a few options. Dan Ndoye, if you're interested in that. And like Dean said, Harris is always there in case you need to call him up.
Can't stand that.
Our boys Brest tied knots 0-0. Brazil couldn't lift them up this week, so unfortunate for them.
I don't know what you're talking about. Your boys Brest.
Our boys Brest.
Okay, buddy. Okay.
We not loving Brest this week.
Okay, DWE. Come on, anyway, on we go.
Rennes beat Metz 3-2. Carlo Mendo scored his 15th goal of the season. They got a lot of talent in that Rennes team, man. They got a lot of talent. A lot of young niggas.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of talented players. But yeah, it was a very short week in France, man.
Yeah, do you know what, dude? There was a player, though. Just to go back to the Nantes and Brest match, there was a player for them. I believe his name is, oh my days, Albin. Really, really exciting player. I peaked probably like the first half, most of that game, most of the first half. And he ran through their team twice. One of them, I think he beat like three players and then he put it wide basically. And I want to be someone that I'm going to give our listeners homework to keep an eye on because.
Yeah, what's his name?
Matisse Albin, sorry. Really, really exciting.
He's 21-year-old. He plays for Nantes. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. And guess who he's on loan from?
I don't know, Man City.
Rennes.
Oh, really? Okay, that I didn't know. But speaking of Brest, my team, Lille, can go above them tomorrow. If they beat Lyon, and I have no faith in them beating Lyon, even though they're at home.
No, that's not happening.
I
really want the best for you in life, like every day. But the hater in me really wants Lacazette winning. I don't know why.
Oh God, that'll just do my head in. But they're one of the form teams in France anyway. They've won four of their last five. Do you know what I mean? Like they're doing what I've hoped they would do this half of the season. But I just feel like that Lyon game is a real banana skin, man. Like I don't like it at all. And this is a chance for them to actually take control of the top four race, and I'm scared that they won't, but let's see how it goes, man.
So let's look at the standings. PSG are obviously first, champions, 70 points. Monaco, second with 61 points. Brest are third, 57. Lille are in fourth with 55. Nice, 51. And Lens runs it out with 49 points. So short week. Let's go over to the Premier League. Tottenham 8-4 goals, excuse me. That was one of the most pathetic things I've ever seen in my life. You know how bad it was? That like, at some point, I just wanted to go lay down. Like, legit, just put my do-rag on and went to go to sleep.
Like, coach, why does niggas start the fucking Tottenham section with some fat shaming, huh? Why? What did Big Ange ever do to you, nigga? Huh? Talking about 8-4 goals, like, Why didn't Liverpool just score 4 goals? He had to eat the goal. We're better than it on this pod. We are good people.
I'm not.
No, for real though, what is actually happening with Tottenham? They had 2 weeks off, and including the Newcastle game, they've conceded what, 11 goals? Is it in the last 3 games?
Like, I can't count that high, bro.
It's 11 goals in the last 3 games, right?
Coach,
go on.
You're Yoruba.
Yeah.
In our culture, we believe in spirits, right?
Yeah, I know. Spursy spirit, I understand. It's who they are. I get it. But surely it can't continue. Surely they
yes, the fuck it can.
No. Surely they find some dignity against the Chiefs. Surely that's like, if they have any pride, right? If they have any pride, surely they look at the last result and think, you know what? Nah, like, we could have decided this title race and we still can, basically. We've lost to Arsenal. We've lost to Liverpool. Let's have some fucking shame and take some points of City. How about that? Do something useful.
I have a question for both of you guys. You guys seen Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah.
So, do you know what Liverpool saw the first 3 goals that they scored?
I don't know. Uma Thurman overdosing? The fuck? I don't know.
A Royale with cheese.
Very Yeah.
That's what they saw.
Apparently, at halftime of this game, Romero, like, they put Royale in a chokehold or some shit, and Vicario had to, like, separate them. Like, it's bad. You know, I feel for Big Ange because I feel like, you know, obviously it's the media that decides who they're going to hype up at the beginning of the season. And Tottenham started so well. And the media, I don't know what their love for Tottenham is. I don't know if there are a lot of Tottenham fans in the British media, but they really hyped them up. Tottenham didn't do this themselves. Obviously, fans will do what fans do. And now that everything is going so pear-shaped, people are just shitting on them crazy. Mm-hmm. And as an Arsenal fan, I obviously do not give a fuck about what happens to Tottenham or what they do. But people are acting as if Ange is somehow dishonest by now realizing that, oh, a lot of these motherfuckers I met here are not good enough to play for me. Hmm. Like, every manager deserves the right to clean out their squad and bring in players that they want, you know? So I think he'll get the opportunity to do that this summer. I don't necessarily think they'll be much better if they keep playing the way he wants them to play, though. I just don't see that style working in England. Yeah. There are just too many smart managers with too many good players who can take that space in behind them. You know, Van de Ven can solve every problem.
Yeah. He thinks he's playing against Inverness every week. This ain't Inverness, nigga.
that's true. But I think one of the major things as well is that principled managers like him only work when you have really good players, like exceptionally good players. In that entire Tottenham squad, they have one player that's at that level where I say they're exceptional. One, and that's your striker in Heung-Min Son, right?
And he shouldn't be playing as your striker.
Exactly. That was my next point. Anybody else after? I mean, Emerson is arguably the worst defender in the league, I think. I think he's fucking shit. And I actively pray on his downfall because of Saka, basically. But again, I've told the story a million times. But there's so many players there that he's probably looking at and thinking, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, how could I even put faith in these guys now? Like, so to add to your point, yeah, you're right. Like, they're just not good enough to play the sort of football that he wants to play. Issue is, you're at the wrong club to try and play that type of football. So
like, Tosin, do you think that if Big Ange had, say, City squad, that he could play the way he plays?
No, he's very naive. He thinks defense is an option.
But here's the thing. You play like that type of way, he's probably going to underachieve with that City squad, but they're not going to concede 11 goals in 3 games with that City squad. Do you get what I mean? Like, that style of football only works when you've got really, really good players. I'm not saying you're going to be super effective with it, but you're going to win a lot of games that way.
Honestly, bro, I just feel as if that point applies to every fucking manager.
Nah, I wouldn't get it.
If you're trying to play attacking football, you have to have the best players. Yeah. Period, end of. Like, if you don't have those players, then you have to be Sean Dyche.
Yes and no, because I think, for example, and I hate to use him, but someone like Unai Emery, right? He actually strikes a decent balance despite him being a coward most of the time. He's got some, you know, good attacking players and a top striker in Ollie Watkins. But, you know, as much as I love John McGinn, like, I personally would not start him at my club. you know, I wouldn't even sure if I wanted him as a squad option at my club kind of thing. But he's found a way to get the balance with him as one of these, you know, central players in their build up, basically, and even off the ball as well. And there's a way to do it if you wanna, if you're gonna have good players, but not at the top level, but you still wanna, you know, attack and score a lot of goals. I think Villa have scored, I think, the fourth amount of goals after Newcastle. So I think it's Arsenal, City, Liverpool, Newcastle, then Villa, I believe.
Man,
so
you pay too much attention to these loser ass teams behind Arsenal, man. I don't know why
you know
all that shit.
No, but for like there's clearly a balance. I think with someone like Ange, basically, you're going to need to upgrade significantly, like through, especially through the span of that team for sure. That midfield makes me want to heave.
Coach, you spent a lot of time telling us to talk to my shit. Yeah. I don't like that.
Sorry, man. But just to be clear, Tottenham still are shit. So.
Jurgen Klopp said something after the game that made me realize, like, this is such a lovable German bastard. He said, this is a very special club. I didn't make them believe. I reminded them what happens when you believe. What a romantic bastard.
Gosh. Oh, yeah.
Man, that nigga corny. Fuck out of here, man. Yo, Kendrick, get that nigga, man. Get that corny-ass German nigga, man. I'm tired of that nigga. Get the fuck out of here, bro. You're done. You're done. You bottled the title race. You bottled the Europa. Get the fuck out of our country, USA. Who the fuck am I? Oh.
Luton 1, Everton 1. Elijah Adebayo channeled every bit of Yerba energy into Ashley Young. That was a beautiful header. Made him look like a small man. It was great. I enjoyed it very much.
It's late, but I've got to pause that. You can't be challenging your energy.
Yeah, I was thinking really. Absolutely, I felt mad uncomfortable, man.
That's unacceptable, man. I'm sorry. Man. Yeah.
I heard Meet the Grams while he was saying that shit.
Oh, man. Would you be challenging your energy into come on.
He said, you a freaky ass nigga. Freaky ass nigga. He a 69 God. But no, man. Seriously, I mean, the thing is about that game is Lokonga's assist was really good. Right there, so
he's still not for the future at his parent club, which is unfortunate. I was really rooting for him, but it's too late now.
Absolutely, I think he's gonna have a good Premier League career, but just not at Arsenal, unfortunately. Give us a 20 mil and I'll be happy, man.
He seems like one of those guys that will do well at Everton, like he'll upgrade Gay.
Yeah, I think he's better than Gay, to be honest. You know,
I don't think he's homophobic enough.
That's I think Gay has definitely gotten beat on that for sure.
Okay. Brentford 0, Fulham 0. 1-2-3 Cancun. Woo! Those guys are checked out. By the way, someone called Ivan Tony Ladbroke Gazette.
That's an amazing slot. Like that is insanely good. Football Twitter is way too creative.
You know, people gave him a lot of shit for all those interviews he was doing when he was suspended about, you know, looking for his next team and all that. Then the minute he stopped doing interviews, he stopped scoring. So maybe the nigga should have kept talking, I feel like. You know, like what happens to him this summer? Who do you think? Is anyone still interested in him? Like
Tottenham. No. Tottenham. I'm telling you, Tottenham. That is Tottenham all over. Like, he's just a Tottenham signing. They're going to look for something. Pardon, sorry?
He didn't prove them. He's better than Richarlison.
He's definitely better than Richarlison. And he'll look at Tottenham as, you know, yeah, this is my big break kind of thing. I get to play for a club that's, you know, play Champions League football. Will Tottenham get European football this season? I think they will.
Europa League.
They'll get Europa League. So, yeah, no, that's a Tottenham signing if I've ever seen one, for sure.
That's a good shout. You know, Newcastle beat Burnley 4-1, beat the brakes off of them. And it goes to show you that... you know, Burnley are just ready to go back to the championship. So, hey.
It was crazy. They were the best. Obviously, they won the championship, innit? And they won it, you know, quite comfortably. And then they'll be the second team, I think, to be relegated. I think Luton will fight pretty much all the way to the last day. But it's just funny. It's just funny watching it, how, you know, the teams that come up kind of thing, how the team that might come up through the playoffs end up being better in the Premier League than the team that actually won the championship.
But Coach, I have a question for you. Were you happy with Jason Tindall's happiness this weekend?
So there's a reason why I'm only talking about Burnley and not Newcastle, bro. And the fact that Bruno Guimarães scored as well, I'm not great. And Callum Wilson as well. Fuck, what a terrible weekend. All right, I'm done with this game. Yeah, next Bruno one, please. Nice. Unless Dean's got anything to add, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, me?
He doesn't. Yeah.
I didn't even know I was on the pod. Let's keep going.
Sheffield United lost 3-1 to Nottingham Forest.
Funny.
The championship is calling.
Well, they're already. Yeah, they're home. They're already home. But yeah, Callum Hudson-Odoi,
their manager said,
I'm really pleased for him.
You said what, Dean?
I said Callum Hudson-Odoi. Like, I'm pleased for him. This is a motherfucker that did his fucking Achilles, and he's looking like he's about back to that level he was at. It took him a while to get there, like longer than most. But it looks like I was worried for him, to be honest. I just felt like he was just going to drop down the levels and end up playing in like the fucking championship or something, and that would have been his career. But I think there's a chance that he will make it back up to the. I don't know if it'll be the very elite. The goal, his first goal this weekend. Come on, guys. Come on, that was beautiful.
Both of them were special in their own way, for sure.
Do you know what he deserves?
Go on.
A basket of boiled eggs. What a great finish from the guy.
do you know what's funny, though? I think Sheffield United's manager is probably more checked out than Tuchel, because the interviewer said to him after was something like, is it just copy and paste, basically, for you's Leicester? Yeah, exactly that. Like, same thing every week at this point. Like, he is completely fed up. And I love the frankness of these managers, because they can't bullshit. Like, we see it on the screen, like, he's checked out, the player's checked out, and he just come out and said it. And normally, you know, with English people, they like to be prim and proper and be like, yeah, like, even if things are obvious, you always put on a brave face. But he's just like, nah, fuck all of that. Like, I'm just going to say it quite literally how it is. And I really appreciate that.
So, sometimes you reach a point at your job where you realize they're not paying you enough to keep lying to them.
That's all it is. And that is career advice from the Shirtless Parenting Show.
Yeah. Probably already cut that nigga's salary. He don't give a fuck. Like, Chris Wilder, suck my dick.
Speaking of Cancun, West Ham. Wait. Before we get into West Ham, I have a theory. Do you know when West Ham season went down?
When we went there and crashed.
No. Wrong for the both of you. It was when Mohamed Kudus wanted to get fake locks. And Allah is punishing them for the sins that he made with his hair.
Do you know what? That's
your
hair,
but their season was over before that. It was over before that.
Dean, they lost.
Them niggas lost, but Kudus didn't lose. He had 14 takeoffs.
He didn't.
In
and he did. And guess what? And guess what? He needs to take off his damn fake hair, okay? That's what he needs to do. I'm tired appropriating my culture.
No, you don't. Leave him alone.
I'm sick of niggas getting fake locks. Go through the struggle stage, okay? Anyways, they got their ass beat. And they were so bad that, what's it called? It looked like an actual striker. Nico Jackson looked like a real striker.
Mm. I won't lie to you. I'm not even gonna shit on Jackson anymore. Like, I don't like the fact that he's named Nico Jackson. Not a huge fan of that. But you know, it is what it is. But I actually think there's a lot to work with there.
100%.
But I don't feel, maybe he could end up being a central striker. But I think for now, a better coach with playing a better system doesn't make him their focal point of a striker. I think he could be very dangerous as the forward in a front three that's playing wide, whether it's the right or the left. Like, I think, but as a central striker, I don't feel him just yet, for sure.
I think that Pochettino's going to stay.
He is going to stay, because he's figured something out in the last couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, apart from when he came to Emirates, but yeah, that's neither here nor there.
They got their ass beat. Oh my God. Yeah. Brighton finally got a win, guys. Woo!
Yeah.
About time. About damn time. João Pedro scored his 20th goal in all competitions, so good season for him. Been balling out this season, so good for him. But yeah, Aston Villa, they're struggling to get over the line, but I'm sure they'll get Champions League spots eventually. I mean, the only person that's really competing with them is Tottenham, and Tottenham still got whatever. Anyways, City beat Wolves. They beat their ass. Roy Keane and Roy Keane might have to do the beef against Haaland, run, spin the block against his dad. So,
No. He's got his dad. If it was really quiet, he'd get his son.
Okay.
So, I personally think Roy Keane, you need to get your Kylo Ren on and basically finish what your granddad started, like Darth Vader, and really, really just try and, you know, do what's required, basically, as far as I'm concerned. There's no other solution here at this point.
I got Erling in that matchup. I got Erling.
But, you know, there's, like I said, you know, what about if Roy Keane pulls out a lightsaber, then what? So it's just, you know.
Do you guys hear what Roy Keane said about Haaland during the game today?
What, he's acting like a sport child?
Yeah. Keane is such a prick.
The first fight is like he's throwing a tantrum, so he's scoring 4 goals. He's so spoiled. Like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
If this becomes a new Souness versus Pogba, I'll be so happy. I need this.
It'll be so much better because it's a white man hating on a Viking. Like, it's just, it'll be fantastic.
A white walker, bro.
Like, yeah. And just like Kendrick Lamar and Drake, I stay out of white people's business. It don't concern me. I'm on my African business. Arsenal beat Bournemouth 3-0. The podcast is out if you guys go listen to Coach and his homies wax lyrical. If you guys want to go listen to that, it's out now. Yeah. But someone who wasn't on the podcast, Dean, talk to us. How do you feel about that game?
I was on the podcast, nigga.
Oh, really? Was he? I had no idea.
I hosted the motherfucking podcast. Like,
I know you did. Yeah. But how did you feel about it? Talk to us.
About the podcast, I thought I did an excellent job. The other niggas on it, they fucking sucked. But about the game,
yeah,
I don't know. I said as much as I need to. I think at this point, it's not really about the performances. It's about getting the results. Mm-hmm. Arsenal got the result. I got the impression, talking to Coach in the chat, that he's kind of given up on Arsenal maybe winning this thing. He thought where City might drop points haven't happened. And we're looking at, they got Tottenham, West Ham, and who?
They got Fulham. Then Tottenham, then West Ham. It's three London clubs. Do your London brothers a solid, you fucks, man. Like, I've had... Oh, God. You
know, Marco Silva is like 0-12 against Pep.
You don't even need to get a win, Marco. We're not even asking you to get a win, bro. Like, legit, we're not even asking you to get a win. It's really frustrating to see that, like, put it like this, Arsenal have been as good as we have been in the last 19, 20 years, right? And as a fan, I'm enjoying this ride. I'm loving this ride. It's the most fun I've had watching this team in probably a decade. And it might end trophyless. And I'm okay with that in terms of, you know, we might win all of our games, end up on 89 points, and then we go trophyless. You can't really ask for more than that, you know. I get it. It's just frustrating because I think about these players and how hard they've worked, all the shit they've had to face. Every single one of those players in our first 11 has had to face some sort of adversity, one way, like real, real bad adversity, one way or the other, whether it's Ben White with what he's had to face this season, or even when he was first signed. Do you know what I mean? Saka, like, you know, the list is endless. You know, Havertz, God, like, I even gave him some shit. You know, Odegaard, the same thing. Gabriel, you know, people saying that, like, they can't trust him, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He's probably been on form, the best centre-back, you know, God knows.
Coach, go on. I have a question for you.
Go on.
Why don't you just call up Iwobi and tell him to do the job?
Listen, man. He's already done it to one Manchester club this season. Please, Alex, if you've got any shame, do it to the other one, to the more evil one, please.
There you go. And tomorrow, United plays against Crystal Palace. I don't care. But there will be a podcast that will come out about that, so you can hear my thoughts about my stupid club. But apparently, Bayern Munich have had talks with Ten Hag's management. Apparently, this is news I'm reading. So, yeah. So that's that. The Premier League standings. Where do we stand on the Premier League? That is a very interesting thing. Obviously, City and Arsenal are duking it out for first. So right now, Arsenal are first with a game in hand, 83 points. City are in second with 82. Liverpool are in third with 78. Villa are in fourth with 67, Tottenham are in fifth with 60, and Newcastle rounds it out with 56, and United are in eighth. Ugh, disgusting. Very nasty work. But guys, listen, this week we got a lot of podcasts coming for you. We got Champions League edition coming out. We got the MLS joint coming out with the soccer edition. Excuse me. We might have a little surprise that you might never know. So peel out for our TikTok. Look for our Instagram. Look for our YouTube. We all got different content coming all the time for you guys. So yeah, that's really that. Fellas, y'all got anything you want to add?
None. Peace and much love to you.
All right. Peace, everybody. Take it easy.
I take my shirt off. Work all day. Hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Plantation sugar.